Dorset Theater Festival's world premiere production of The Whore and Mr. Moore, the new play by Pulitzer Prize winner Michael Christopher, opens Thursday and runs through August 11th. The show stars TV, film, and Tony Award-winning theater star Judd Hirsch, known for his work in Taxi, Tally's Folly, I'm Not Rappaport, Conversations with My Father. Playwright actor Michael Christopher won the Pulitzer and Tony Award for The Shadow Box. He played the neighborhood lawyer in the recent Broadway revival of A View from the Bridge. He also plays Jerry, the snarky producer and ex-husband of Angelica Houston on the NBC Smash. And it's a pleasure to welcome them both to the roundtable. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's a pleasure.
How did you come to this particular project, Michael, in the sense of it's been in the works for a little while?
It's been in the works for a while, yes. I was approached by one of the movie studios a while ago when I was still writing screenplays to do a remake of a film called The Ghost and Mrs. Muir, a classic Mankiewicz film. I took a look at the film, which I knew and liked very much, and went back and spoke to the studio, and they wanted to remake the picture. They wanted it to be contemporary, and they didn't want the woman, the lead, Mrs. Muir, to die at the end of the picture, which, of course, is the classic ending of the movie. So I suggested to them that instead of embarrassing themselves by trying to make a remake of this incredible film, that they reverse the roles and have the ghost be the young, beautiful woman and the man who rents a house on the coast of Maine be an older man, so that at the end of the story, he died and went to heaven with the beautiful young ghost and nobody would be offended. And I thought that would make the studio happy, but it didn't. And so I didn't do the remake, and they never did the remake, and it was all very good. Anyway, the idea stuck with me, and I then started to develop it as a play. I did it, a good 7 or 8 years ago. I did it first, and then put it aside, and then kind of picked it up again last year, and been doing readings of it, and now it's ready for production.
Judd, where did your involvement in this begin?
I like to believe that I'm the one who got him to pick it up again, but I'm pretty sure Michael would have done it anyway. But he came to me and asked me about the play and what I felt about it, and so I said, why don't we read it? And we read it about 2 years ago or something like right. that. We read it with maybe about 2 or 3 times, and I started to get interested in the fact that it's a written play. It's got great language, and I thought, oh, man, where have you seen something like this recently? Also, it's a comedy. And, you know, I'm just attracted to comedies. They don't have to be very good. This one is, you know. But it presented a really wonderful problem. I mean, excitement. And that is, we don't quite know what state we're watching. In other words, it's the state of a man writing a play, dreaming about writing a play, having written a play, or how did it ever go? And what we're going to do in this one, this is really totally theatrical. I love the idea that theater can do it, you know. Movies can do it too, but theater can do it because this is even more exciting to play, to try to make it happen, if you know what I'm saying. It's a writer, and he's in a funk. He's trying to write this play, or at least have it come out in his mind so that he can write it.
And Michael, it seems like there's a lot about control, isn't there?
Yes, on the part of it. The leading character, we should say, is a playwright who's rented this house and is trying to write a play, his last great, wonderful play. And it's about controlling your universe. It's also about on the more serious side, it's about aging. It's about getting toward the end of your life and feeling, I haven't done it yet. I haven't accomplished everything I can accomplish, and time is running out. And those are all the things that are sort of operative in this character.
You've gone back and forth as a playwright and as an actor, and is that by design or follow the money?
No, it's just Paul Newman once said to me, you know, you don't seem to have any game plan. And I said, well, I think that is the game plan. And then another friend of mine said, well, you started as an actor, and then you started writing plays, and then you went on to screenwriting, and then you directed a few films. And then you went back to screenwriting. Now you're back in the theater and you were playwriting and now you're acting again, and pretty soon you'll be a waiter again.
But you like that diversity.
Every part of my life where, I've been doing whatever I've been doing has really been fantastic. I had a great start as an actor. I moved on to playwriting. I had sort of a nice success as a playwright, which took me into screenwriting. As a screenwriter, I worked with some fantastic directors, Brian De Palma and Ulu Grosbard and many, many terrific directors who embraced writers. I never had the sort of traditional terrible time that screenwriters have in Hollywood. It was always pretty good. And then the business changed and things moved over. The control of films moved from directors and producers to the studio. And when that happened, I lost kind of interest in screenwriting. And then I moved on to film directing. I had a wonderful time directing 3 pictures. And now I'm back in the theater. And now acting again, which is, makes me feel very, very young. So I feel good.
You feel young when you're acting, Judd?
I feel younger than the character. I don't care how old they say he is. But I've never really thought that I actually, represent anybody my own age. Mm. It just doesn't occur to me that anyone sees it that way. Because if it did, I would have to put on a lot more makeup.
What draws you to a role? You said you liked comedy, but what draws you in general to a particular role?
I've been around a while, and so I've had the opportunity to play some, standard type plays, or plays that you would know would be successful only because they're born to be that way, just like Neil Simon's plays are born to become Broadway shows. You could do that. You can also do something experimental, which nobody ever sees anyway, which is something that you kind of, put it in your background. It's the growing experience. So when you see something, even experimental, or something that is in a small theater, in a sort of like a group, like, for instance, at the Circle Rep back in New York, we had mostly were experimental, but they were plays written by Lanford Wilson, and he wrote 2 plays that I was in. And I thought, we'll just have the 100 people come and see it, and they'll fall in off the street, and they might see this. It'll never go anywhere. Bingo, it goes to Off-Broadway, and bingo, it lasts 3 years. And you go, I had a good feeling about that play. I think that was worth it. Then he writes another one, and it's just a 2-character play, and I thought, Now let's get serious about this. I said, because I know how you talk, and I know what you like, and I know what he's like. He wrote it about me. He put the character out that he'd already written in another play who was dead. Now he's going to write the story about when he was alive. So I thought, that's interesting. Then it becomes doing something, when you really like an author, it becomes doing something because you want to know what the author meant, what his experience is. For instance, there was a moment in that play of Tally's Folly when he wrote something that rhymed, and I said, I don't remember the rhyme, but I said it, and then I realized it rhymed, and I said, Lanford, hey, this rhymes, it's cute. He said, that's for the readers of the play. I said, he said, no, you just say them as they're real. So I thought, there are things that authors do. Isn't that interesting? This play became, sort of like a slight obsession of mine. When I read it with Michael, and we read it with other people as well, I said, there's something about this that it's like 7,000 adjectives. I said, obviously it's going to end up as like maybe 3,000 adjectives, okay? But eventually it's going to come down to we also do something. And I said, I just got fascinated with thinking, could I play that part? He'll probably get a guy who's like 35, 40 years old. It's more like that. And then I looked at Michael and I said, no, it's more like him. I could play it. I guess, things grow on you some way. And also things, they fall apart. I mean, you can get yourself into an awful situation once you commit and you can't get out of, and you hope it is not a place where everybody's going to see the failure. This is not one of those.
And that's regardless of the medium, right? I mean, that can be in television, film, or theater.
Well, in television, you're stuck because someone will see it.
George and Leo.
Yeah. Yes.
Judd Hirsch, Bob Newhart. What could go wrong?
The writers. The studio. They had an idea about a wonderful idea. We did the best pilot. I laughed at it. But they started to write the Bob Newhart show all over again. And as if to say, you know, it wasn't jealousy. It was stupidity. If they had stuck with their idea, we would still be on. It was a brilliant, it was a wonderful idea, because he wasn't going to play anything like he played before, you know. He was going to play a guy who's stuck with a man who domineers him, a really tasteless person like me.
He once said to me that he knew he was in trouble 5-6 episodes in when the two of you were in lobster suits.
Oh, yeah. I knew we were in trouble just about the same time, and I was hoping that the lobster suits would come in the last show, not in the fifth show, you know. And I was hoping I wasn't be the one that wears it. I was the one who wore it.
What is it like to take your words and put them in the very capable hands of someone like Judd Hirsch?
It's an immediate collaborative experience because, first of all, Judd and I know each other from, I think, 1968, something terrible like that. Judd and I were in a play together with Morgan Freeman, The Recruiting Officer by George Farquhar, which is a restoration comedy.
1701.
In Philadelphia, with chickens and things on stage. Anyway, so we've known each other a long time, and I've known his work for a long time. And when you have someone of this caliber, with this kind of experience, I mean, you know that you are going to be creating the play with him. And as Judd said, you know, a couple of years ago, we did some readings, and when we knew we were going to do it this summer, we started in the winter doing a reading. I was doing rewrites. We got some more actors together. We did another reading. It's been a long process, and the play has changed quite a bit, and all for the best. So when you have this kind of relationship, it's a real collaboration, and that's what it's been. So it's been great.
You bring it to Dorset, you work it out, and the hope beyond here is what?
That it will be an instant classic, I think. And if it's not, then I'll probably do a little more work on it, and then we'll do it again somewhere, and we'll take the long, slow, careful journey toward the New York critics.
Otherwise, it'll be played immediately in Czechoslovakia and countries like that.
Those Bulgaria, actually. Bulgaria.
Czechoslovakia doesn't have a border on the ocean, so it can't be played there. you know, plays have strange lives. All of a sudden, somebody's doing it someplace you never expected. You know, I keep telling Michael, I said, you know, this play, it has a sort of an international flavor. I mean, when you see it, you realize it could be England, it could be, you know, any English speaking country where that you could stage it. You know, with that kind of what I'm saying is, it's theatrical, and the more theatrical it is, the better it is, because the more we mean what we say, the funnier it is. God only knows why that's true, but it's true. I'm right now. I'm laughing. See, I made you laugh, and I was serious.
You know, it's very exciting to have you on because it's a great subject and a great play, but you were our first guest on this show. When we started 12 years ago, you were our very first guest, and we were thrilled to have you. You were in town to do a play called Art,
yeah.
And it was great to have you on then, and a wonderful way to start off our show, and so it's nice to have you back.
Well, thank you. I've not given up on that play either. I've done it 16 times since I've seen you.
Good show. Yeah. Dorset Theater Festival's world premiere production of The Whore and Mr. Moore, the new play by Pulitzer Prize winner Michael Christopher and starring Judd Hirsch, opens Thursday, runs through August 11th. Michael and Judd, thanks so much for spending time with us. Great pleasure. Best of luck.
Thank you.
Yes.
Go to dorsettheaterfestival.org for more information. dorsettheaterfestival.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.